This morning is from Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 1, and it's on page 963 in the Bible. So Matthew chapter 9. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "get up, take your mat and go home." And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. And then the second reading is further on in chapter 9, starting at verse 32. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now, this is the gospel of Christ.
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to stand down there with you, and it's a pleasure to be up here too. Well, this morning, as we kick off, as we look at this passage, this chapter 9 in Matthew's Gospel, really just going to be focusing on that final end couple of verses, 35 to 38. So, but before we begin, I'd like us to think about our clothes. Yes, the clothes that you're wearing. I wonder if the person who sitting next to you looked at your clothes, what would they kind of say about you, or what choices you made about coming to church this morning on a beautiful sunny Sunday Christchurch morning. You know, clothes have a way of saying something about us. And if you've known me for any length of time, you'll know that jandals and shorts are a defining feature of my wardrobe. A common expression given to me is when people see me dressed like this, is that you own shoes. People are amazed that I actually own pants and shoes because they don't see it very often. Today, however, living in Wellington, you're far more likely to see me wearing a hoodie. That's just kind of my style. But I don't care much for style. I don't care much for trends. Grace will tell you that. And that's why I have photos in my kind of social media and Facebook that look like this. So that's me. And then maybe there's another one. Yeah, that's me in first year. That was St. Patrick's Day. And so clothes communicate something about what we do, what we're interested in, what we care about, and what we're even like as a person. And so the Gospels present us with Jesus, who is the visible image of the invisible God. He is perfect in every way, and he is clothed with humanity. To clothe is to associate, it is to identify with. And this alone gives us insight into the character of God, that he is not ashamed to draw close to us, closer than the very clothes we wear today. And occasionally throughout the Gospels, and this passage is one of them, we get a clear line of sight directly into the heart of God. And so I pray this morning that we would experience God's heart, whether that is being comforted or spurred on as God moves us this morning. And so diving into verse 35, says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Matthew gives a summary of Jesus' ministry in Galilee. Both Mark and Luke record similar things about what Jesus did. He traveled from neighboring towns to preach the good news. Jesus would say, "That is why I came." And as a rabbi, Jesus would teach in the synagogue. He would teach where Jews were gathered. And much of his ministry was spent here. And significantly, Luke 4 records this moment where Jesus gets up and he preaches and he has given the scroll and he reads from Isaiah 61. And he says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus finishes with, "Today this is fulfilled in your hearing." And so the events which kind of unfolds in Matthew's gospel and significantly the passage that preceded our kind of key text this morning reveals Jesus as no scammer. He doesn't come in with, as maybe the young people that I hang out with say, all chat. You know, he's not all words. He backs it up by his actions. And we see that in chapter 9, just even briefly, that the paralyzed man, as we read, he is made well and his sins are forgiven. He proclaims his calling. If you read in chapter 9, he says it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. And he goes and heals the sickness. He raises the dead. He restores sight to the blind. And he sets free the oppressed. If Jesus to wear a hoodie on boldly in the front, with each miracle adding another letter, it would read, "Jesus the Messiah." And so with that firmly in view, Matthew zooms in and shares one of the real-time emotive moments of Jesus in the Gospels. It's verse 36. It says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd." Jesus looks on the crowds who are confused. Other translations talk about distressed, or they're harassed and they're helpless. These are people who are following him. We kind of saw the crowds and throughout chapter 9. These are people who are following him. These folks are outcasts. They're driven from their home community. These are people who are burdened. They're physically, spiritually, relationally. They don't have a guide. They don't have a teacher. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, have abandoned them. They're not being looked after and cared for. They're weary, they're tired, they're hungry. It's a bit of a dismal state when you kind of look at this group of people. This is what they're like. And so then Jesus says they're like sheep without a shepherd. They are lost, defenseless, they are vulnerable. And Jesus looks and he sees these people and he feels what? Indifference. Overwhelm, frustrated, looks at the crowd and says, frustrated. Apathy, judgment, condemnation. No, I think the greatest news about our Lord and Savior Jesus is that he feels compassion. It's so good news that Jesus looks at the crowd and he feels compassion. He looks at the crowd, he says, he feels compassion for you and he feels compassion for me. I love that. We live in a world that bombards us with an overwhelming array of information and messages that shout, "Follow me, trust me, let me show you the way to the good life, let me show you how to have life to the full. Just look at me, like look at Instagram, look at our social media, look at the world that we live in today." And never before has truth been so diluted, so subjective, that if you sometimes feel like you don't know what to believe, who to trust, or even perhaps how to follow Jesus in this day and age, you are not alone. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone has a platform. And it can be very, very confusing. As we've kind of shared a little bit already, this year, I'd say, has actually been one of the toughest in my life to date. Things which seem so certain and clear, things like mentioned our home situation, my health. I had an ear infection for probably largely on 6 months. Made it sound like whenever I talked, I was speaking through like a tube. Not having a permanent spot to live, desiring to step from, you know, what I was doing was a member of the team, really coalface ministry, desiring to step more into leading a team, training, coaching, developing culture. None of those things have eventuated this year like I expected. Life has hit. And all of us have had moments, or perhaps are in them right now, or we will have moments where life hits us hard and we feel confused and helpless, as though life itself is harassing us. We may even in that moment start to go, God, what's going on? Where are you? Where is your goodness? Why is this happening to me? These are some of the questions that I've had to wrestle with this year. And so however you connect to the experience of the crowds this morning, one thing we ought to know is that Jesus looks and he sees with compassion in his eyes. And it's not just in this little moment in time that Jesus looks and he sees and he feels compassion. But compassion is the defining characteristic, one of those defining characteristics of God. And as we'll see, is what we're also called to as followers of him. Psalm 105, just looking really briefly, one in the Old and one in the New Testament. Psalm 105, 8-9 says, "The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love." That if a friend of mine says that if God was a balloon and you were to pop him, then what would flow out of that balloon would be unfailing love and compassion. And in the New Testament, we see Jesus tell a parable of the two sons. And in that parable, the younger son goes away, and as he's coming back, you know, he says the father is filled with compassion, and he runs to his son, and he kisses him, and he embraces him. And this word compassion literally means to be moved to one's bowels. It kind of means to suffer. It is a deep kind of feeling. And, you know, that move to one's bowels meaning doesn't need unpacking. When bowels move, you move. Or you should. Compassion isn't simply need awareness. It's not simply knowing the right theology. It's not just orthodoxy. That is good. It is important. It is important to know what is right. But it's integrated theology. It affects us. It changes us. It moves us. Compassion produces action. And I think this is beautifully seen with the woman who touches Jesus' robe and is healed. In that chapter in Matthew 9, we see Jesus on a mission to heal a sick child. It's the sick child who he will eventually raise from the dead. And he is interrupted. And yet he pauses within this vital mission that he is about to do. He is gracious. He gives her his time and he encourages the faith of this woman. He honors her by calling her daughter. And we can only imagine the impact of this moment on her. It changed her life, relationally, socially, spiritually. What this bleeding had meant for her, what it kept from her, now she is healed. It's a significant change. It's a significant impact because Jesus paused. He had compassion. And zooming out to take another look, this is what Jesus has done for all of us. God has moved towards us when we were far off. God came near. He took our sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. We are forgiven. The burden of sin is lifted. The power of sin over us is defeated. And in our hearts, we get to cry, Abba, Father. We get to know God personally. God didn't simply know our need or know your need for a Savior. He moved towards you in compassion and offered himself. And this morning, he is present to offer that same compassion. I've got a friend, not a friend, I like him to be my friend. He's an author, a writer. His name is Glenn Scrivener. And he says that Jesus is compassion with clothes on. Jesus is compassion with clothes on. I really like that. And so how are you this morning? And do you need to experience Christ's compassion? For myself, I am an incredibly independent person. I'm not one to ask for help easily. My pride, my sense of responsibility can become a heavy burden. This year, however, has humbled me. I have become a needy person. I have felt like I've needed to ask for help more than I ever have. And that's been through primarily two ways, both with people in the church, people, Christian folk, my friends, and also with the Lord personally. There were months where plodding was probably the best spiritual description of my life. We talk a lot about thriving and flourishing. I was very much plodding. And the Lord's Prayer has been a great comfort. When he says, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done. Or in Gethsemane, you know, the prayer of Jesus of, you know, not my will, but your will. Those prayers have been significant in helping move my heart towards a place of peace amidst a worsening situation. Prayer is one of the ways we experience God moving towards us. Prayer is turning the eyes of our hearts towards God and being strengthened by his presence and his promises to us. And so I ask you this question. If Jesus was seated next to you and he turned towards you, what emotion do you see in his eyes? I think the answer to that question is important. What emotion do we see in Jesus' eyes when he looks at us? And so I encourage you this morning to receive Jesus as he is, not as we might feel or have mistakenly believed because of our circumstances, but as the one who has moved towards us with compassion, who holds the words of eternal life, is willing and able to forgive and bring deep comfort amidst our toughest griefs. And if you're in that place this morning, if you're in that place of just needing compassion, needing to know Christ's love, you can absolutely pray personally. God is here. You can pray to him. But I would encourage you to invite someone to pray for you and to pray with you. Last Sunday, that was me. The sermon was on something about home. And I was just feeling the lack of a place to call home. And next to me was one of my mates, one of my new mates in Wellington. And as we prayed, I just bawled my eyes out. I was like, I don't know where to call home. And in that moment, God ministered to me through Reese. And God works through people. And so let this body of Christ reach out their hand to pray, to encourage and to strengthen you this morning. I'm so encouraged even this morning as I walk in having conversations with Anne, having conversations with Karen. I know that in this room there are people who are filled and who practice compassion. It is, it's that little line, that famous line of, you know, it's not people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that gets to the heart of what we're talking about when it comes to compassion and receiving that and walking in that. Jesus finishes this section by saying, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field." And so Jesus turns to his disciples in this moment and effectively says to them, "As you have seen me serve, as you have watched me weep, as you have observed my life, pray that God would send others who feel and do the same." And then if you go into the next chapter, Matthew describes Jesus sending out the 12 as answers to their own prayer. And I think this ought to encourage and challenge us It definitely does for me. It tells me that no matter what my eyes see or my heart might feel, I need to pray that I might have eyes to see the world, the campus, which is my workplace, my friends and my family as Jesus does, and feel towards them as he does. This reminds me there are people who are hungry for the gospel or those who are spiritually curious. And so what encourages me is hearing stories like this from a Christian named Joe, who has come to faith this year in Wellington. He says this year has had its rough moments for sure. I've battled with the thought of Christ entering my life. I've broken habits just to get back into them. And I've had moments of severe doubt with my faith towards Christianity. All of these are enough for any other practice or religion to cast me out and say, you're not worthy. Yet what's been shown to me time and time again is the grace of God's work, the grace of God's love. Yet not all is low. He has shaped me, driven me, and given me so much joy in life that I can't even fathom and say that I had a year ago. And then this is from another student named Cam, great name, talking about learning to share his faith. He says this, the Lord has used it to really open my eyes to the lost and those questioning. He has opened my heart to have a greater yearning for those who don't share the same joy of salvation as us and become aware of opportunities for evangelism. Just cool. That's what I love being able to do and see and be part of the ministry that Grace and I are part of. Seeing God work and change and grow people's hearts. And so then if we kind of continue with this theme of compassion and what it might look like for us, the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians 3:12, he says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And so because that we are recipients of God's love, compassion must be like the clothes on our back. So not to be like the thin singlet that we might wear underneath layers and layers and layers of other clothes on those cold Christchurch mornings. Not that it would be hidden under layers of apathy, judgment, condemnation, frustration, or whatever that other kind of fleshy thing is that we struggle with. But rather that we would be kitted out with kindness, would have a hat of humility, a jacket of gentleness, and pants of patience. We're called to move with compassion towards the hurting, towards the lost, towards those who don't know Jesus yet, towards the broken, towards those who are feeling as though life has just kind of hit them up this year. And we're to do that equipped with prayer, generosity, hospitality, a cup of tea, or simply your presence, and to partner with Jesus in that kingdom work. And this first starts by seeing your world as Jesus sees it. And so what is your world? What is the world that you live in? Is it a home, a workplace, a school, a university, a sports team, a reading club? You know, like, what is the world that you live in? And perhaps as you walk into these places this week, might you surrender yourself and your plans to God's kingdom purposes and be available to move towards those opportunities that open up. Perhaps it might mean driving the long way home today, or praying for this Mighty Ho community or the community that you live in and you are a part of. Perhaps it looks like taking an interest in your neighbor's lives and in the long term saying, what would it look like to invite some of these people to a Christmas service this coming year? There's 1,001 different options of what practically this might look like. The goal is not to tick a box. The goal is in the Christian life is to become like Christ. And as Jesus was moved by compassion, as compassion characterized his life, I wonder if there's a person, a context, an area of life that this morning the Holy Spirit is moving you to surrender and pray into and ask God, what would it look like for me to move towards them in love and compassion? And so just an invitation to see, to feel, and move through our days like Jesus. And as we go, invite God to open our eyes to see and feel as he does. And who knows what your eyes will notice, your heart move for, and what joy you'll experience as you step in and partner with Jesus in his kingdom work in this world. So this week, as you get dressed for work, as you get dressed for school or the gym or home, remember Jesus, clothed like us, so that we might clothe ourselves like him and reveal his heart to the world. Let me pray. God, it's so good news that you are a God who is filled with loving kindness and compassion. It's good news, God, because we won't always get it right, but you do, and we can always return to you and come and experience and receive your compassion. And so, Lord, as we've heard from your word this morning, may you develop and grow in us a heart of compassion. May we learn to see as you saw, walk as you walked, and love as you loved. Amen.